Welcome back, everyone. Today, I am here with the fabulous Jacqueline Dunn. She is a returning guest all the way from the UK, and we are talking about functional medicine today, the good, the bad, the ugly. We have similar practices. I'm in the United States, she's in the UK, and we want to talk about, functional medicine and who is it for? Because it's not always functional if you can't afford it. And there's so many layers that we want to unpack today. So, welcome, Jacqueline. How are you today?
Thank you. Lovely to be back. I'm good, thank you.
All right. So, let's break this down. Let's talk about, let's dive right into the good stuff. So, I don't know. Let's start with tell me about your practice. Like, what does your practice look like in the UK for functional medicine? And then I'll kind of explain mine. And, how do you see your clients? How do you help your clients? What do you actually do with them, with labs, with supplementation? How does functional medicine work from your perspective?
So it's definitely evolved and changed my whole practitioner journey. So if I think about when my clinic first started nearly a decade ago, I was offering so many different lab tests and they were very expensive to run and sometimes inconclusive. You know, sometimes all you get back from a lab test is it's not that, which is great to know you've ruled something out, but it's still not an answer. And we work with root causes. So then we're looking at maybe more testing, and that's more money being spent out, and it becomes a little bit thankless. So although I do still offer some of those testing, probably about 7 years ago now, I incorporated bioresonance therapy into my clinic. So bioresonance therapy works with energy and frequency. It's a diagnostic and a rebalancing tool. So sound waves and frequency is what it uses. I liked the idea of bioresonance because it's in-house. So we're not outsourcing to labs. That means I can set the price, but sometimes it's a 3-hour appointment. So I still have to charge for my time. Lots of people don't deem it as action to it's unconventional, it's too alternative, it's a bit woo-woo. So those people take a bit of convincing. So it's not for everybody. So even that wasn't giving me all the answers that I needed. It's great, but then I'm looking for something else that people might not necessarily need to come to see me, or they don't have to spend way too much money to see me, and they're still getting really good quality data that they can make informed decisions about their health. So I've gone from, and although I still offer all of these, what I'm finding is, and I'm sure you'll agree with me, that as any practitioner in any modality needs a toolbox. And you need a whole box of tools to help your clients. And not one tool is going to fit the job for every single client that you meet. So some people are going to walk in and they have a huge budget and they have lots of things that they want to test and find out. And that's great for them. And we've got the tools to go down that route. Somebody might not want to be doing that kind of lab testing and they are really alternative and they want to do the bioresonance. And that's great. But then might be people that don't have a budget like the first person, and they just want key data to start to lay very strong foundations because they haven't even got the basics right yet, but they don't know where to start and they don't have lots of money to spend. So we need all of them. All of them hold a place. Not one is better than the other, but I think that functional medicine should be available to the masses. And at the moment, unless more people start to integrate, more practitioners start to integrate the less expensive testing, then we are only going to be an exclusive genre, if you like. So, which is sad, yeah, because people shouldn't have to, it shouldn't be like a postcode lottery in terms of how much money you've got in the bank is how much you can find out about your health. This should be available to absolutely everybody. And that's really the whole main message of today, bringing functional medicine to the masses and making sure it's not overly expensive. And yeah, my clinic has massively evolved in terms of what I'm offering. Has yours?
Absolutely. And I love how you broke it down too, because there's not one time that we work with somebody and it's like, okay, we're sending them off with the same protocol of tools in the toolbox. It's there's so many things to reach for, and I look at how my business has evolved and how I started practicing while I was still in the traditional pharmacy space, and I was, running my business, and I was kind of like limited with time and really putting people into different programs and follow-ups because of just that limitation. So I feel like it was almost like starting out with minimal things where we would do something like a hair mineral analysis, where we wouldn't really be able to dive into a complete program because I was unable to have the capacity. I could only take on X amount of clients every month and keep up with their follow-up appointments and everything. But, looking at the affordability of labs, and like you said, we might spend something like, $500, $800 on one lab to look at something like gut markers or food sensitivities or, different inflammatory markers and or nutritional, micronutrients in the body. And some of these labs get so expensive. And then it's like, okay, well, which one do we want to focus on first? And I know, I mean, for me, looking at just one of those markers always leaves a question. Even if we just do, let's just say, an expensive stool test and we see what's going on exactly in the gut, it will point us to a lot of good answers, but it will point us to a lot of questionable, well, if these markers are off, then that can indicate that we have too much or too little estrogen or, hormonal imbalances. And usually that leads to the inflammatory cascade and cardiovascular function. And it's like, it's almost you have to go down the rabbit hole. And it's like, well, for me, I started to practice with, okay, this is my top-notch program. This is my big dog Gucci program. We're diving in. We're going into all the deep labs and we're going to test for the things that I see the most. And it's great. But when we really take a step back, all of the same foundational things that we're working on, I don't want to say are the same, but it all comes back to inflammation in the body, cellular health. Even if we want to get woo-woo, like you said, talking about frequency and energy and all of that, it all comes down to the same factors with people where, if we can do a test that's a fraction of the cost to see what are we doing, where are inflammatory markers in the body, are things going wrong at the cellular level, and we repair there, everything up the chain kind of can get better without dumping thousands of dollars into really expensive lab testing.
I think it's so overcomplicated, and I think that practitioners, so two things, they need to be careful because you can end up, a lot of practitioners go into this industry because they find that in the medical industry, we are just treating symptoms and not working with root causes. So you do get a lot of transitioning of doctors who were in the allopathic space transitioning across to functional medicine. So, but then what happens is, and even if they haven't been doctors, you often see this, they end up practicing the same way that medicine practices. It's a test for a test for a test. And then also, rather than a prescription, is a supplement and a supplement and a supplement. And I've had people come to me and they're on like 15 to 20 different supplements. They've been to see another practitioner who's told them to take all of this stuff and they've had all these tests that say they need it. And I'm like, oh my God, how is this any different to an endless prescription? Okay, it might be a bit more natural in terms of ingredients, so we might have a few less side effects, but we're still not looking at the root cause. And that's why we transitioned across into functional medicine in the first place. So we mustn't forget that. And then the other thing that happens that I see practitioners do, trap number two, is that they get analysis paralysis. So they basically get paralyzed by analyzing everything and, well, we have to run a lab for that and we can't treat that until we've treated that. And how about mold? And what about toxicity? And this and this and this. And you're like, whoa, 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 there. Let's hold our horses and let's go. And we covered this on the last podcast, so I'm sorry if I'm boring, but let's go back to basics. Lay strong foundations, look at the key biomarkers that drive so much upwards. Because if you don't have those right, all those things are going to be out anyway. So let's get these right first and see what's above it.
So true, and I love this. I feel like I have been when I have my people coming to me and looking for help and kind of funneling them into things, I almost find myself not talking them out of these labs anymore, but also almost like looking at it from that standpoint of taking it back to basics and starting there. And if we need to dive into something, if something still looks off and we see something that's a red flag, we can always dive into something later if we're not getting the answers we need. Sure, there's the people that do come and that, they have so much going on and we need to look for specific things depending on their level of symptoms, just like any practitioner. We look at each person as a bio individual. But like you just said, I feel like, first of all, what is functional medicine for anybody who's listening? Like, what is functional medicine? It's root cause, but it's also like so many practitioners I deal with that. I know you can agree with this too. It's they come and they go through the cycle of, oh, well, I was sent to the dermatologist and then the allergist, and then they sent me over, back to my primary, who then was like, and they're going down this rabbit hole, and it's like everybody in traditional medicine kind of stays in their lane and they deal with one part of the body and they don't look how they're going to affect the rest of the body by treating that one thing, which is huge because, like you said, more and more people are coming to me that are sicker when they started down the functional medicine path. They've got a list of supplements the size of my arm, and it's like, I don't even know where to start with them. Almost like, let's take a drug holiday, just like we would with prescriptions, and do like a washout and just start from scratch. I mean, sometimes, it's not like they're not potentially doing something to the body. So that can be a little scary for people that are like, well, I'm relying on this because I was told this would help me with this. And I'm like, well, is it? Because you wouldn't be here seeing me if your supplement list was working. But I feel like this is the game that is functional medicine. When I break down my protocols for people and they're on supplements, I'm like, these supplements are with purpose. And they're not forever. We're taking these for a certain amount of time. If you're working with me in my 4 month container, which is my most popular thing, we are working on these things in this 4 month period. And then you're walking away with just a couple of supplements that are helping your cells function properly so that you don't need all of the other supplements,
Yeah, the biggest piece of advice I would give somebody who's going to work, who wants to work with a functional medicine practitioner, is be like a 2-year-old, and every single thing they are suggesting, say, but why? 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 Because you have to get to the root. And if there's another question, then you haven't got to the root yet. So keep asking why. Because the layers are there, and that we can't just keep running a lab for a lab's sake. So, a classic example of this, I still run. Now, I don't run it very often, which is why I've completely forgotten the name of it, but it's intolerance testing. So I still run intolerance testing, but 99% of people that will inquire about intolerance testing, I talk them out of having it. And the reason I talk them out of having it
Me
is
too.
because it's not root cause medicine. So you want to do a test to find out what you're reacting to in your diet. But your symptoms are fairly recent. So have you recently changed your diet? No. So if you haven't recently changed your diet, and the food that you've eaten hasn't changed its ingredients, then it's not going to be the food that's the root cause, because you've always ate that and you didn't always have these symptoms. The symptoms are new. What's happened? And if we then get a list and you are told, take this, and this out your diet, the likelihood is you'll feel really good for a few weeks, maybe even months, and then you'll start reacting to something else because we didn't work on the root cause, be it a bacterial overgrowth, be it a parasite, be it whatever it may be. But there will be something else there that is driving the gut dysbiosis in the first place. So, yes, we can run a test for a test's sake, But as practitioners, we need to make sure that it's absolutely necessary. It's going to address the root of what that person is trying to find out. The person understands that any test, and I mean any test, is a snapshot in time. So if you test it now and then you test it in a year's time, it's going to be a different reading for a million and one reasons that will probably take another podcast to explain. But it's only a snapshot in time, and then we can work on improving what that snapshot looks like. And hopefully at the same time, that's when symptoms are eradicated because we've improved these biomarkers. But is it necessary to run that test? And is it cost effective? Because spending so much money on lab tests that actually are not going to get you to the root. So for example, that food intolerance test, it's outsourced to a lab. I mean, over here, we're probably looking at about £250, £300 to run that test, and you're not getting the full answer because you're not going to find out why you're reacting to those things in the first place. It's not going to tell you if you have digestive enzyme incapability and that's why you're bloating with your food. You know, it's not going to tell you that. A GIMAP test might tell you that. So is your practitioner then going to go, oh, well, now that we've done this intolerance test and it only worked for a few months, we probably need to do a GIMAP test and then have a look at that as well. Like, no, we have to have integrity when we are working with these patients, because they are coming to you with their health and handing it to you. They are trusting you. And the best way to manage that is to give it straight back to them and say, I don't need to handle your health because that's disempowering. But what I'm going to do is teach you some tools so that you can handle it yourself going forward. Because we're not a medical model, we're an empowering model.
I love that. And I feel like for people that are not, are not getting that or don't understand that, I feel like I'll use an example of somebody. It was, I don't know, was it a year or two ago? I remember it was Christmas time. Was it last year or the year before last? A customer came to me and she was having this reaction on her skin, and she went to, literally, they sent her to, she went to a dermatologist, she went to an allergist, they sent her to three different, and then the primary doctor, she got circled back around. She was doing all these topicals and she's like, I know that I'm allergic to something. So she ended up wanting to she wanted to find out what it was. Here it was like a beta casein allergy. She was literally allergic to all like milk products. And the truth of the matter is I think at this stage in the game, she can tolerate all of them a year or two later. I think it's like basically we calmed down the inflammation in her body and got that functioning properly. All these functional tests are really cool to look at, but when we look at it and we look at, okay, not just the food, what other, fillers and ingredients, environmental things, the company that I use, Vibrant Wellness, their labs are top-notch. They tell you exactly, but again, so expensive, so, I don't know, just like you said, a snapshot of a small amount of time. So when you start to decrease inflammation, whether you remove that food itself that was causing it, or you remove the root cause, because I think that's what people don't understand when it comes to food sensitivities. Like, I love that we're on this topic. I think people think like, oh, they're doomed. Oh, I have a doubt dairy insensitive, like a sensitivity or an intolerance or even an allergy. But I don't know about you, 9.5 times out of 10, when somebody has an allergy to something, when we calm down that root cause, they can tolerate those foods just fine. It had nothing to do with that food itself. It just had to do with this person was so inflamed that when they put something that generally causes inflammation, like gluten or dairy, in their body just flared and just was like, enough. I've had an absolute enough. This just took me over the edge. So I think it's so interesting for people to understand that, like root cause, like you said, like coming down to that, what's actually causing the food sensitivity? Because it's usually not that food itself. It's what else is going on in the body. Why all of a sudden is your body reacting to this thing that you could tolerate, your entire life?
Yeah, and we're seeing that a lot now, and I'm hearing it so much now. I don't know if you do. It's bandied about I didn't hear it so much like even 5 years ago, but MCAS, mast cell activation syndrome, where the mast cells are overreacting to absolutely everything, and people are having multiple allergic reactions, and some of them can be quite severe. But it's basically something's happened in the gut. That's usually where it's stemming from. But why did that happen in the gut in the first place? Was there an autoimmune reaction? Has there been a trauma or a stress? Because cortisol can impact histamine massively. So we're always looking at the why rather than just, as I said, if you just go, oh, well, you've got all of these allergies, let's remove them. How is that any different to giving somebody an antihistamine? So, because then we're just calming it down. And that's a little bit, if we talk about it from a mindset point of view, if you've got a phobia, confined spaces, and you avoid confined spaces, so that's fine. You can avoid getting in the lift, you'll take the stairs, but then all of a sudden, you feel confined when you get on an aircraft. So now you're not going to fly anywhere. And now your world's really small. And now you feel confined when you get in a car. And you see how if we don't deal with the root cause, the problem gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And this is exactly what will happen if you have the wrong test run for you, if you're not looking at the very root foundations of health and just laying the strong foundations there first and foremost. And in my eyes, there's three: inflammation, gut health, and an immune response. If you're looking at those three, how well does your body manage inflammation? How well is your gut functioning? And how well does your immune system function? And we can ask ourselves that right now. So, how well does your body manage inflammation? Well, do you have an itis, like an arthritis, a diverticulitis, a colitis? Do you get a lot of joint pain? Do you have lots of reactions to things? We can see that the body's not managing inflammation very well. Do you have acne? Do you have an inflammatory response that's quite obvious? And then with gut health, what's your bowel movements like? Do you bloat after certain foods? Are they quite loose? Are they quite light in color? There's so many questions we could ask around that, but people know their own bodies and they know when something's changed in their bowel habits. So they know something must be off with their gut and their immune response. How often do you get ill? Actually, if you never get ill, that can be just as alarming as getting ill all the time, because the body needs balance. It needs to be able to fight things, but it needs to be able to get us back. So if you're never getting ill, that could be a red flag. But if you're getting ill all the time, that's also a red flag. So what does your immune system do? Does it react to everything? Does it react to nothing? Or does it just occasionally come back from things, but really, really quickly? So we can ask ourselves these questions and we can then know where we are out of balance in those areas. And the beautiful thing of the testing that I've integrated, and you too now, very recently, is, well, in the last 2 years, is just at-home dry blood spot testing that looks at inflammation, that looks at gut function, and that also looks at immune response. So we can do that just sitting in your living room and just taking a dry blood spot, dropping it onto blotting paper, sending it to an independent lab, and getting very extensive results that you don't even need a functional medicine practitioner to read to you. They are quite concise enough for you to understand yourself. But most of the time, I spend 5, 10 minutes just going through the results so people completely understand what they're being told. And then you have very specific solutions to get those biomarkers back within 120 days, because that's your red blood cell renewal time. So that's the other thing with functional medicine testing. And we've spoken about this before. It's the retesting. It drives me mad because people will give up halfway through the process because it's becoming expensive, because their labs aren't telling them what they want, even though they've completely followed the protocol, and they're getting really frustrated. So they give up with the whole process. There's like, SIBO is definitely the most common one that people give up with in my clinic, where they're like, how many times have we got to test this? It's ridiculous. And actually, that is not a root cause test, because why did you get a small intestinal bacterial overgrowth in the first place? Why did your gut become so bacterially overgrown? That's what we should be looking at. We didn't ask the other why. Remember, be like a 2-year-old. Why? 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 Oh, it's SIBO. Why? So
Exactly. And I feel like, too, I traditionally, when I'm doing the expensive labs on somebody, when somebody's got crazy symptoms and they come to me, we go by symptom relief. If somebody, sure, just if somebody wants to retest something, or if we see something, especially on a stool test, that's maybe, a bacteria that we want to see that's kind of alarming. How it works too in the United States, if I can send them to, like, for an example, calprotectin, which is comes up on a stool test that shows for inflammation, right? So, a lot of times what I'll do, if that came up with somebody super high on a stool test, instead of having them redo the expensive stool test, maybe they'll do something like go to the doctor and get that done through their insurance, because it's insurance doesn't cover any of the functional stuff. So it's like trying to make it that affordable, because I would like to see that that number's going down with what we've been working on. And really, we're just going by symptom relief. So if somebody's coming to me with all these symptoms and they list their goals, and then we run labs, we see what's what, we do protocol, we do whatever. We just basically go by symptoms. And a lot of times people are, when people walk away, they're feeling better. Everything is quote unquote copacetic. But at the same time, too, it still leaves us without the why. Like, is it there? Like, we're assuming because the symptoms are gone, and they feel good, why spend another few thousand dollars on rerunning the labs? Because again, it's hard enough to get people to commit to their health to do the labs initially. So I love the dry spot testing, because we can see the key markers that we can work on the foundation of health and wellness with. Just even looking at inflammatory markers in the body, how that can make a difference on where to start with cellular health. Because I don't know, cellular health is, if you're not working on cellular health and you're not looking at what's going on with your cells, like, nothing else down the line of supplements or anything can even do their job. Like you said earlier, it's just a list of other things. Yes, it's more natural than taking prescription medications, but the body almost gets thrown into like a what the heck. Like, it's very like, hey, we need to take these with purpose. What are we taking these for? Why? Why am I taking this supplement? What is it doing? And then it's great to see, hey, it's working here. Let's take it now. Let's try it again in 120 days and let's compare and see what's going on.
And that's why I take 5, 10 minutes to just go through the results with my clients, because I find that if you say, we've said the word 100 times already on this podcast, inflammation, it's something that people hear all the time, but they don't truly understand what it means, why it's important to have that managed in the body. And lots of my clients, when I've said, well, anything that's an itis is inflammation, even that they didn't know. They didn't know that anything that a condition that ends in itis just means inflammation in that area, and they're surprised. I'm all for informed consent, and that's not informed consent if you've been just given a label of a condition, but it hasn't truly been explained what that condition is. So I always take the time, and just to explain inflammation, you have acute inflammation and you have chronic inflammation. And acute inflammation is actually quite a positive thing because it's part of our healing mechanism. We are supposed to get inflamed so that we can stop ourselves becoming overly sick and chronically inflamed. So white blood cells flood an area and that re reduces the healing time. However, if your body's not managing inflammation very well, which is to do with the ingredients in the blood lipids without getting too scientific, then you are going to risk staying inflamed, and acute inflammation can very easily become chronic inflammation. And this chronic inflammation can lead to chronic diseases. So we want to make sure that our body is managing inflammation and has all the tools to manage inflammation. At a cellular level, we have 37 trillion cells in the body, 37 trillion. And every single one of them needs to be soft and flexible and spongy and absorbable, because if they're not, then it doesn't matter if you've got the best diet in the world, you're spending loads of money on organic food, and you have really expensive all singing all dancing supplements. If your cells are hard and rigid because they're inflamed, they can't get the nutrients that in its entirety from your diet or your supplement routine. So that's why when we say about looking at the very foundations of what we're doing, We need to make sure that we're absorbing at a cellular level, because no matter what changes you make with diet and supplement, if you're not absorbing at a cellular level because your body's not managing inflammation very well, it's only going to be a tiny amount effective. But if you change your cellular health so that all of a sudden your 37 trillion cells are soft and flexible and absorbable, then everything you do then onwards is going to be more impactful.
100%. It's the nutrients can get in and the toxins can get out when they're plump and fluffy and not hard and rigid. And I think that's the starting point that, well, we know we miss that in traditional medicine. We don't even talk about it in traditional medicine, but I think so many practitioners miss that in functional medicine as well. And, again, onboarding supplements upon supplements, when really starting with that cellular health is it's critical. And for anybody listening, whether you're the patient or the practitioner, it's where you need to start. It's where the basis of everything is. If the cells aren't healthy, they can't signal the hormones to do what they need to do. It can't signal anything down the pathway to do anything that it needs to do in the body.
And from a hormone perspective, just to make it relatable to people that might be listening, particularly women, when you look at all of the symptoms of inflammation, you will have things like joint pain, cardiovascular issues, you will see your skin losing elasticity, your hair quality will change, and you will have digestive dysfunction. You might even have brain fog and memory issues. Now, all of those symptoms are also the early symptoms of perimenopause and menopause.
I knew you were going to say it.
Every
Yep.
single one of them. Now, the reason being is because estrogen, which we deplete and decline during that menopausal journey, is a natural anti-inflammatory. So as we start to become more inflamed because we don't have as much estrogen, then we should be told we're going to start to get all those symptoms, and we should be told, oh, those symptoms are because you're now more inflamed because you're depleting estrogen. Maybe you want to now start to incorporate some anti-inflammatory work into your diet and lifestyle and supplement routine. But we're not told that. We're told, oh, every single one of those symptoms is a symptom of perimenopause. And because you're 47, we're going to put you on HRT. They probably won't even run a test. They will just guess based on your age and your symptoms, when actually there are some really simple things that you could be doing outside of synthetic hormones that can make a big difference to those early inflammatory responses in the body.
I love that you said that. I was and I think that that's just one factor. We look at all of the hormones, right? People just think, "Oh, hormones, sex hormones." But, what's really happening that, estrogen and that signals what's happening with cortisol in the body and what's happening with insulin in the body and what the thyroid is doing. And then we look at even our neurotransmitters, how they're all affected and they all live in the gut and that's where they start and our immune system all starts in the gut. So, it's not just about, oh, are you pooping right every day? That's gut health. It's, yes, that's a big part of it, but your immune system, 85% of it lives there. Neurotransmitters, 90% of your serotonin lives there. So if you're not getting the gut right and that's not healthy, then your immune system can't be healthy. Your brain can't be healthy. It all stems from that inflammation at the cellular level to help repair the gut and the whole pathway.
And up until October this year, the only way that we could get some detailed information on gut function was for a stool sample test, which is quite expensive. It's quite messy. People don't like to do it. There's a window of time to get it to the lab. So there's a lot of logistical issues to consider as well. And then from October this year, the first ever dry blood spot test was launched for gut health. So we can look at key biomarkers of how the gut is functioning, which, if we're talking about root cause, the GIMAT test, the gastrointestinal stool sample test, still has a place in functional medicine, but it comes after the dry blood spot test. Because if we don't lay the strong foundations with dry blood spot, or if we do lay strong foundations with dry blood spot, let's do it that way around. We lay strong foundations with the information we're given with the dry blood spot test, and all of the symptoms that you first appeared with are eradicated. We don't need to go to GIMAP testing at that point, because We've already got to the root of it here by looking at the very basics. So that's something that can come later. It's another tool in the toolkit if this doesn't give all of the answers. But up till now, it has given all the answers. So, this is quite groundbreaking in functional medicine. And the sad fact is, not very many practitioners even know it exists yet.
They don't, and I hope that there's a lot of practitioners, watching this. And when I post it and put it on social media, I will tag and outreach to practitioners, because I feel like this is almost a podcast for practitioners. I hope that they take this information and utilize it to the best of their ability with their clients, because I know it's changing the way that I've practiced just in the past few months. And I just was talking about it on social media the other day, that 2026 is just going to be such a groundbreaking year just for me and my clients because of being able to introduce them to this testing. And it's not even just the affordability, it's the practicality of it. It is being able to retest, and it's also having the solutions, like right there, knowing exactly what you're seeing to say, all right, we're looking at this, I've got all the solutions right here. And like you said, everybody is different, so we might need to dive down. There's a time and a place for the expensive labs that are very detailed out, but I think starting with the basics is that's where my practice is going. Being able to do a dry blood spot test and see the things that I need to see that I can work with to shift somebody's health in just a few months, it's just exciting for me as a practitioner, because I can't tell you how many people that I've had to turn away, or even just be like, well, we can do this, but I don't have anything to go by. We can just go by symptoms. And I love the fact that this is affordable and that there's something for everybody, that everybody can get started on their health and wellness journey for, a decent cost.
That's what I was just going to say, and then you've kind of explained it. It is a podcast for practitioners because we need practitioners to know that these other means of testing now exist, and they're not expensive and they're easy to do and they don't take up masses of your time. So you're spending lots of one-to-one time with clients, and it gives very key data for people to make informed choices about their health. And we have the solutions that work within 120 days. Practitioners need to know all of that. But prospective patients also need to recognize that they may have ruled out functional medicine on the grounds of it being expensive and time consuming and not ever finding the root. And you're going over and over and over, and there's another test and another test. We need to eradicate that from this particular career. We need to, because it is going to give us a bad name when we are only a footstep away from what they're doing medically. And we transitioned over because we wanted to do things differently. So let's not repeat all of the things that we know that are being done incorrectly from a medical perspective, because they're treating symptoms. And that's fine. If you're happy treating symptoms, then go down that route. But functional medicine is, by the very nature of its name, functional. We're getting to the root and we are helping the body to come back to homeostasis by treating that root. And it doesn't need to cost the earth. So if anybody is listening to this that has some underlying issues that they think is going to cost an absolute fortune to get to the bottom of, if they was working privately with a functional medicine practitioner, then please reach out to Courtney or myself and have a conversation about some of the different tools that we use that are quick, easy. We're still working with very reputable labs, the leading independent lab in the world. I'm happy to name them. Vitas Analytical Services are who we run the dry blood spot tests through. All of that is there at a very reasonable price to give you very strong data about your health that can be changed very quickly and can start to see the eradication of some very uncomfortable symptoms. We've seen it in our clinics already. I've been working like this for 2 years and have seen some miraculous changes. And I just want other practitioners to know that this is out there and exists.
I love it. This is exciting. So, this is great. I can't wait to share this episode. And I know we also have our class coming up for practitioners. So hopefully they'll see this and we can get them on board there and really teach them how to bring this to their practices as well. Because I think that like you just said, I kind of think functional medicine is already getting a bad name. I see it getting a bad name. Some of the big names out there, the popular people, I won't name them right now. I won't call anybody out. But there's people that have paid tens of thousands of dollars to some of these big name practitioners. They're coming to me with a laundry list of not just symptoms, supplements. And they don't feel well. Maybe I felt a little bit better on this or that or whatever, and they can't even single it out, but they're not well. They're almost worse than they started, and they're now, tens of thousands of dollars deep in things that didn't work. And I think that so many people, functional medicine is already kind of getting that bad name. And I hope this is, an episode of awareness for people, a wake-up call for functional practitioners of, yes, there's a time and a place for everything, but the fact that we do have these resources available is super cool.
So they're available. So let's get them out, let's use them, and let's make functional medicine available to the masses.
I love it. Well, thank you as always for your awesome information. And when we publish this, we'll send out our information for the practitioner only class. I think that's going to be great too. But as always, a pleasure to chat with you. You are a wealth of knowledge and just such a bright sunshine for me. So I thank you.
Thanks, Courtney.
Have a wonderful day.